Hello there. There are many roads to the top of the mountain.
Did you start it?
Yeah.
We have ignition.
Yeah. We're rolling. How's everybody doing? Oh my God, it's so nice to be with you again. We love you. We really do. I mean that. This is one of the great joys of my life to be able to do this and then interact with you guys that listen. And Jesse, if you're listening, I hope that made you laugh. Yeah, man. Hope you had a good Father's Day. Jared, we're recording this ahead of time, but did you have a good Father's Day?
Yeah, it was pretty good. I went to sushi with my dad and Rachel.
None of these things have happened yet, but...
Right. Yeah. And it was trashy and cheap and delicious, and we had a good time, and we just talked about planning a vacation soon, like going out somewhere for a quick, like, 3 or 4 day hitter.
Yeah.
He needs to get out of town, and, like, I'd like to get a break. So we talked about that. And then I paid for the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he didn't want to, of course, but I was like, come on, man. Like,
Right.
So you couldn't see your dad.
Mm-hmm.
If you could have seen your dad, what would you guys have done?
We would have went to the zoo with my kids.
Nice.
And then we would have watched a polar bear give birth to a young cub.
Uh-huh.
And then we would have watched one of the giraffes die.
Okay.
And then I could have taught my daughter about the circle of life.
Yeah.
In that moment.
It'd be cool if, like,
And then we watch a sea otter rip apart.
A fresh trout. Rainbow.
Only to play with it, though. I didn't eat it. And then we also learned about cruelty.
Yeah, of course. Like...
In the animal kingdom.
The web.
Yeah.
The spider's web.
Right. And I got a chance to teach my 3-year-old daughter all of these things in great detail, and she grasped it.
Right.
And then she grabbed my hand, and we both levitated into the sun.
Yes.
And then the sun exploded, and then everyone died.
Okay, the only thing I wanted to
change.
But
we came back.
Only thing I've won.
That's how my Father's Day was.
One edit? Can I have one edit on your Father's Day?
And I got a stuffed seal at the souvenir shop.
I was thinking that somehow Daryl had to help give birth to the cub.
Oh, he had to, like, reach in and pull it out?
Right, so it was like, Father's Day, you know? He's, like, helping.
Oh.
And then they name the cub after him.
Oh, okay.
In, like, honor of him helping it.
Oh, I got you.
And then your story continues from
yeah,
there.
Yeah, and then we just see all the other carnage that happens at the zoo.
So it explodes. Everybody dies in the sun.
And I got a raw chicken finger, and it made me hallucinate.
Right.
Meanwhile, this entire time I've been...
El Diablo Pollo.
This thing got off the rails. All right,
No way, I got to read this one. Okay, it's a lot of words, but I'm going to do it. Ready?
Yeah.
You sow certain seeds in your mental personality. You drop a seed in the soil of your mind where it grows. It becomes either a mango tree or a mulberry bush, poison ivy or a rose. Whichever one you wish to sow. If you sow a rose, is it a rose that grows for you? You have placed in your mind the raw material of your thought. Each thought, once placed in the mind, becomes the raw material for a further thought. For example, the very sentence you have just heard has now been placed in your mind.
Get out of my head, bro.
Get out of my head, bro.
All right.
We love you.
Take it to orbit.
I'm so happy for Smiles Forever.
Says jai, which just means like praise to, or like
jubilation.
Yeah, jai. Jubilation.
Yeah,
to like all these. He just starts doing a laundry list.
Is it a Hindu thing?
Yeah.
So it's for Krishna.
Hanuman. Yeah,
but Hanuman is part of Krishna.
Well, yeah.
Here's where I'm going with this.
But in this specific metaphor, uh-huh, for what everyone's looking for, Hanuman is like the Jesus figure.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. It lives in your heart.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that's what that is.
Okay. I don't know, man. Krishna's not on my side right now.
That's more of your speed, dude, is the Krishna stuff. And I appreciate the Krishna stories, but like...
Yeah.
I'm just like straight Hanuman the whole way.
Well, you know, I went down to the Hare Krishna temple.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, that's a big leap, dude, because I've wanted to, but for whatever reason, like, I just don't have the guts to do it. Even
yeah,
though I know
no,
it's like they're totally non-judgmental.
Right. I definitely had some anxiety doing it. Yeah. But... It's great. It was very welcoming and cool. If you just have to open mind to that.
Because we have like the big Hare Krishna school here in town, don't we?
Yeah, I think it's the like biggest one, international school.
And why is it here?
They wanted it here because it's the heart
the heartland.
Yeah, yeah, it's the heartland, man.
I like that. Are we geographically like dead center of this continent?
I don't think so, but I'm not a scientist.
Yeah. I mean, I know that like all of the big highways run right through the middle of this.
Yeah.
Which is why it was such a big popular like train stop.
That makes
like,
sense.
The old Union stations come out of there.
It's the gateway to the West.
Is it? Because here's the thing. When I go to St. Louis, no offense, St. Louis people, I see the arch and I'm like, it's just a gateway to more farmland, or it's a gateway to East St. Louis, depending on which way you're looking at it. You know what I mean? It's cool. Yeah. I've been up in it. I mean, it's a, if you're in St. Louis, you should do it once to get that like little egg pod and it takes you up
right into the top.
It's cool. And St. Louis, the actual downtown city is beautiful. It's just, I don't know what it is about St. Louis. Is like, it's just so hood, which isn't a bad thing. But what's weird, I've noticed, at like 11 o'clock at night, the entire city shuts down. You can do whatever you want. I climbed the Brett Hull statue and ate chicken strips off of it. Nobody said a damn thing. I laid down in the middle of the street and took a 5-minute nap. Nobody said anything.
What do you mean by hood?
It's just like, how do I put this? It's just sketchy around every corner. That's what I mean by hood.
If you're not sure what you're going to see.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. We had a guy come up to us, tell us he had toe cancer, needed $20, and that his dad invented the United States Postal Service.
That should take care of it.
2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm. Broad daylight.
Right. And then we saw him later on in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
He came running up to us with different clothes on.
Okay.
Missing one shoe.
All right.
And said, hey, I still got your 20, but he held up like an obvious $5 bill. Like, whoa. I didn't go buy drugs with this, guys. But we're like, yes, you did, man.
Oh.
I wasn't mad at him. I'm like, whatever you got to do.
He didn't even know what he was showing you. He was just like, I got it, man. See,
yeah, I'm like, okay. Like, you're scaring me. Like, they won't out front of the hotel room. And like, it's a nice hotel room.
Mm-hmm.
The Omni Majestic.
Okay. How many stars?
All of them.
Like, how's your Yelp review look on this place?
I don't Yelp review, but it was good. It was nice. We got the presidential suite.
Okay.
Like, the free upgrade.
Who's paying for that?
They just hooked us up.
Who's they?
The people that work there.
How? What?
The people that run the Omni Majestic Hotel. We got like the base model.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I went in there and just said, hey, is there any kind of an upgrade? And they're like, yeah, we got the presidential.
Oh, they're like, for you, anything?
Well, there's nothing going on. Like I said, it's shut down at 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
You could literally wander the streets. Nobody, you don't even see anybody.
So they were just like, sure, take it kind of thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was cool. I don't know.
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, I don't know about the whole gateway to the West thing. But
yeah, all I was trying to get at was I'm upset because I emailed those Krishna people about using that song.
Oh,
I still haven't heard back. So that was my thing, was like, I'm just
Krishna. So you hung up on that? Like,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
What's your deal with that, man? Because like, here's the thing. We didn't, hard to believe that like Rick Rubin produced that's these Hare Krishna songs that you want to jam on.
Yeah.
And that they've sold more copies than unfathomable. I'm more, like, how?
More copies than Bhagavad Gita's.
Yeah, pretty much. And that's probably why they're not getting back to us. Not because they're like big timing us. It's just they probably get 50,000 emails a day.
Okay. I'm over it. Thank you.
You know how hard it is? Like, dude, we get maybe 20 Instagram like things a week.
It's exhausting.
I have a hard time getting to those.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you have to have a full, that's somebody's job is to like check emails and like write back.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when you used to write, we see this when you're kids, like my grandma would like make us like write letters to people we liked.
Yeah.
And I remember one time we wrote one to Neil Diamond.
Okay.
And the Diamond Man wrote back.
Whoa.
And sent like an 8x10 signed photo. But
I mean, come on.
But we knew it wasn't Neil Diamond that was actually writing. It was just like his secretary. Like, here.
Yeah.
But I remember like the picture was, he was so cool. It's like my grandma obsessed. It's like the first time I realized like my grandma's still a woman. That she had this like picture of Neil Diamond with his burly chest hair hanging out.
Took me a second to realize what you mean by your grandma was still a woman.
Well, yeah, because you look at her and she's like, that's just my grandma. Like, you don't think that like, she has those like weird attractions to guys like Neil Diamond. I'm like, oh, you're still a human.
You still have needs?
Well, not even that. Like, not that thing. I was just like, oh, you're looking at the glistening, sweaty chest hair on a young Neil Diamond looking so boss.
Sure.
Just looking like he just stepped off the private jet.
I'm not mad at it.
Yeah. Yeah, man. And I just remember him being like, I'm like, oh man, all right.
You're like, damn, grandma.
Neil, can we like write one to my hero, the Green Ranger? Speaking of which, man, they came to the now defunct Bannister Mall, the Power Rangers back in the day.
Mm-hmm. Wait, like the actual actors?
Two of them. One, the White Ranger, Tommy.
Okay.
The big one. And then the Pink Ranger, Kimberly. Mm-hmm. So good looking.
Oh, yeah? Like, is that one of your first crushes?
Gave her a kiss.
Whoa. On the mouth?
I mean, I went in, dude.
Mouth kissed her?
No. Or on the cheek, but like I let her know. It was one of those like sandlot kisses. Like,
did your souls kiss too?
I'm getting this thing.
Like,
she was just like, creepy kid.
Okay.
Yeah, get out of here.
I thought maybe you shared a moment.
No. I've met people like that that I'm like, think is a big deal.
What do you mean?
Like Cal Ripken Jr., for example.
Uh-huh.
Like, we were a big baseball family growing up. So like Cal Ripken was my dude.
Okay.
We all had our dude. And mine was Cal Ripken.
All right.
And
did you want to be like him? Or
I did.
Okay.
I used to imagine him in the stands watching me play when I was a kid. And it actually made me play a lot better.
Sure, man. He was your guru. Yeah,
no, he was. He was awesome. I used to have dreams that like we were kicking it and stuff. Like for real. When I met him at the Unity Temple downtown, he was signing these books. And there's a picture of me crying, like the Beatles mania crying, right? But like I held it together, but I just started crying because I just met like my superhero.
Like making sounds and crying
there's a picture
or just
of him
tears.
Laughing at me while I'm crying at him, crying. Because he's like, oh man, this one.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, yeah, it was really cool. I got a picture of it somewhere. It was a beautiful moment.
That's
man.
Cool. So you were bawling? You're so happy?
Oh yeah, well here's the thing. Like I was in trouble. It was one of those things of like,
yeah,
your ass is not leaving your bed.
Yeah.
I used to have to write sentences to like, that was my punishment.
Yeah.
And not to work on my penmanship. It was to like drill in the fact that like, I don't need to seek approval from others. Like that kind of a thing. Like I'm
totally.
Cool. I'm worthy of having my own opinion.
Totally.
I can be better. End. Write that again.
Yeah.
Over and over and over
again.
So I was on like one of those like stretches and my mom was so cool. She didn't let me know in on the secret. She's like, get in the car. We're going for a ride.
Mm-hmm.
She found out that he was in town.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is great. Like, I'm going to have to go like run errands with Ma and go buy tampons and, you know, other housewares. We pull up to this church and I'm like, oh, man. Like, if we reach this low of a point to where like now my behavior is like, we have to call on a higher power to like get my shit together.
Yeah.
And I'm sure what I did was like just a mediocre infraction. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I walk in and I know she has this like book underneath her arm. He'd just written a book. We're walking up there and I don't see him. I'm not even paying attention. And then boom, there he is. And like, I start freaking out. So I'm like, I didn't wear my Royals jersey. And I'm like, I wasn't prepared for this moment to happen. Just one of those cool breaks of like my mom being like, this is bigger than like the lesson he's trying to learn right now.
Yeah.
It was just one of those cool things like where parents break out of like a mother-son relationship. And it's like, we're two beings on this on this planet right now.
I know.
And this is going to be a really cool moment for you. Even though we know that you're in trouble and you shouldn't be doing this.
It's a hard game.
We're going to step out of our roles real quick.
I know.
And just have this awesome moment together.
Yeah.
I'll never forget it, dude. It was the coolest thing ever.
It's very cool.
Yeah. Very few moments in my life have like we broken that barrier of parent to child. That's a weird game to play because it's your responsibility as the adult at a certain point. Like you have to you have to teach them how to operate in this world.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to teach them how to break that line of thinking.
Yeah, that's true.
It's two-phase.
It is.
It's two-phase and I'm noticing that like, I'm very aware of like this is the world, this is how you live in it, seeds I'm planting.
Because
I want them to be easier for me to unravel when she starts asking the beefier questions about life.
With your child?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I set it up that way. And I'm not perfect, but like I try to set it up that way about like, you have to act like this on this ball of dirt.
Mm-hmm. Why?
Right now, it's just general safety things.
Okay.
And well, but it's gonna like, you, here's the thing. You could be the most hippied out spiritual person on the planet,
mm-hmm.
but you still have a social security number.
Yeah. It's fire, gas, and energy.
You still have to pay your taxes.
Exactly.
So in order to optimally set you up to get out of that line of thinking,
mm-hmm.
you have to learn how to play by the rules before you can learn how to beat that game.
You can't break the game unless you know it's played.
Exactly. And so that's like, it's so very early on, but like.
So you're not trying to teach her about taxes yet?
No, but I'm just trying to teach her. I'm not trying to teach her anything, but like it's just a weird duality for me because like I have this other understanding of the universe and like how everything's interconnected and we're all just like this big, we're not some accident on the end of like a two stars collided a billion years ago. Like we're not an accident.
Whoops.
We're not like if you took a little vial of ink and just smash it up against the wall.
Yeah.
We're not some tiny little dot way over here, insignificant. Like, we are continuous with the whole process.
Mm-hmm.
You can't teach that to a child.
No, because it's, yeah, you can't.
Well, it's too big. But I have noticed things like Mr. Rogers or Adventure Time.
Oh, of course. Tapped in.
They sneak that. They don't sneak it in there. It is just in there. And then the kids get it. They understand.
Yeah.
And then becoming like an ego-driven machine, you forget these things.
What was that crazy shit you showed me a minute ago?
What?
That cartoon.
Oh, Adventure Time.
Whoa.
I'm telling you right now, dude, it's for kids, but that is one of the most, like, there's so much, like, bigger esoteric shit going on.
You just constantly have those, like, head twitch moments of, like, what?
What'd they just say?
What did they just say?
Oh, yeah. And when you're in this episode specifically, if you're listening and you want to watch it, it's called Death in Bloom.
Yeah.
And the fact that they say that the guy that runs Death down there has mm-hmm. a castle made out of light.
He does. And if you go in the waters and the river in this cartoon place, then you forget everything.
You forget who you are. And you
forget who you are.
There's just so many deeper themes.
And then when
that.
Death kisses them at the end, they remember who they are.
Yeah.
Wow.
So what they're saying is like, you're going to forget all of this. You're going to forget the real game.
Do you guys ever think about stuff?
Yeah, but like every single episode is like that, dude.
Yeah.
There's so much like deep, deep, deep meaning in it. It's the only cartoon that I'm aware of that's like that. Because it's for kids, but it's not.
I mean...
They're doing the real work on kids. I really do. I think they're doing what I can't do to my kid.
Part of me thinks that you can find it in anything, right?
You can if you... Here's the thing.
Yeah.
If you know how to listen, then you can hear it.
Right. Right.
You have to learn how to listen.
It's like reading a book for the second time or like watching a movie again.
Right.
Like you hear it wherever you're at. It meets you where you're at.
Right. Like, have you ever been having a conversation with someone and it's like a little bit of a heated conversation and you say something that is pure and it's coming from like, I'm being as honest as I can in this moment, even though I'm mad at you. And they don't hear it because the momentum of their own rage is tuning you out.
Yes.
It's frustrating. And then once cooler heads prevail, I've noticed that, like, when you start diving back into it gingerly, like, hey, let's not take it to that place, but we have unfinished work here with this conversation.
Sure.
Then the higher points get remembered. Like, they're like, I know you said that, but I was too busy raging out.
Once the gross feelings are gone?
Right. Yeah. Well, and the thing about anger, dude, I'm starting to think it's like the reason why people have violent outbursts is not from the anger necessarily. It's from your bodily reaction to that tension and energy building up that you need to blow it off.
Like, well,
it's a pressure building up.
And psychological pressure and energy too.
I don't feel that though, because I know when I get mad, it's mostly like a physical, like I tighten up and then that's like that violent outburst is just like me trying to alleviate the way that my body's feeling. It's not about driving my point out at that point. It's about alleviating the discomfort I'm feeling within myself.
Is the beach pod helping?
It is. Actually, dude, that's so much fun. The kid will do it with me now.
Yeah.
It's cute, dude. No, but we are doing that beach body thing. It's like bringing me and my wife closer together because like now we're doing something together.
Totally.
It's hard to do that like when you've been in a relationship for so long.
Or you have to do other stuff. I mean, like just even work or like...
You have to make a point. Like, and I've learned this, man. Total honesty out here. Like I let doing this podcast like put me into a head zone of where it overshadowed everything.
Let's call it blinders.
I don't feel like it was blinders. It was more or less like...
How can you say that it wasn't that?
Well, hold on.
Okay.
It's more or less like I dump everything in my head out for the week.
Yeah, yeah.
Down here.
I know that. Yeah.
And then I just want to give it away to people because I feel like there's something in there that they could connect to.
Right. We're all in this together.
I'm not like trying to be Jesus here. I'm just saying like...
No, no.
It's just knowing that someone out there might be thinking the same thing you're thinking. It's comforting.
We all are.
Right. I do that down here.
Right.
And then when I'm at home... It's not like I'm bottling it up, but it's just like...
No, but you're editing and you're on the gram.
Yeah, I'm doing all that stuff. So it's
you're
like...
You're playing baseball, apparently. Apparently you have this phone app.
I know.
What is that?
It's a Tap Sports.
I think you should take it and erase it right now.
I do that. I will. Here's the thing. I'll go on a hot streak of losing games and I'll just quit and lose it. You know, because I'm a game controller.
So shout out to Rachel. He does it here too.
Yeah. No, I know. And it's a real thing. It's a real problem I have. I've noticed when I play video games, like my aggression, my competitive nature carries over big time.
That's part of you. You need it in that.
It is though. But like I will be such a jackass to everyone around me if I'm not crushing the video games. But if I'm crushing the video games.
Oh, then you're peaceful.
Yeah. Like spirit is dancing in me when
everything's going your way, you're a joy to be around.
Right. Yeah. But when they're not going my way, I'm a horrible fucking jerk.
Yeah.
Which is okay.
So, yeah.
But I understand that's like part of the process of ridding you're never going to be able to rid yourself of getting angry. But
no,
I think the trick to releasing anger starts with accepting that you're angry,
mm-hmm.
accepting that you disagree.
Yeah.
And then being okay that you disagree, but it is just the way it is. Once you accept that, like, oh, this is the situation and this is how it is, and you quit trying to manipulate it or mm-hmm. fix it
mm-hmm.
or get someone to see your point of view,
mm-hmm.
because here we go. A man that has to justify his actions is a man that's totally unconvincing. Have you ever been convinced by someone's justifications ever?
No.
Me either. Now, if it was more of like a, why did you do this? And then I lay it out verse and chapter for this is the linear diagram of how I arrived at that.
Though. Right.
That's a lot different than trying to justify your shitty behavior.
Of course. Excuses are like noses.
All that is for you trying to like feel like you were in the right. But the less you care about being right, the more you're probably going to be right. It's like anything else. Like you have to give up trying to get it. It's like knowledge.
Yeah.
You can't, you either know or you don't. Mm-hmm. You don't gain knowledge. You don't earn knowledge. You just.
I'm going to misquote him, but it's one of the old guys like Da Vinci or somebody. I mean, you guys know me, I'm bad with quotes, but it seriously says that it's like there's three types of people. Those who know when they're shown, and those who don't know.
Well, it's also like that other thing of those who know don't speak and those who speak don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point, those who know have to speak.
Sure. It's like the teacher thing too. Those who can't play, teach.
Right. Right. Exactly. Yeah. Speaking of teachers, man, like I've always had like real deep connections with my teachers in school.
And like,
but like a beyond like a student teacher relationship.
It was like more make like the news kind of stuff.
No, nothing, oh. nothing weird. Like
Didn't
that.
You say that one of them loved you?
Yeah, she loved me. We cried at the end of my fifth grade year. We cried together.
Did you hold each other?
Yeah. It was beautiful. It was like we moved beyond the subject-object relationship to being like, oh, you've already done this trip and now you're here doing your job and I'm here trying to learn.
Taking the relationship to the next level.
But yeah, like it was more like, okay, for the play this evening, uh-huh. you're the teacher, I'm the student.
Sure.
But I've always been able to like connect with the human part mm-hmm. beyond that, even at like a younger age. Like I was able to like see beyond the roles and be like, you're just another human being that's out here looking for the same thing everyone else is.
Okay, you can see
I didn't know it at the time.
Sure.
But it was more of like an understanding of like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What is in you is in me.
Well, I was like legitimately in love with her though. Like
really? Like you wanted to run away with her?
Oh yeah, like I want to. It wasn't a sexual thing here. It's like I was just so.
You weren't there yet. No.
We were connected at like the heart level. We really were. Because she didn't cry for anybody else. I'm not.
Oh, I see the sincerity in your eyes.
Yeah, like we really loved each other. And I was like, I was a very good student, but I was kind of a bored bad apple.
I know you're not joking, but I don't know why I find it really funny.
It is very funny.
Yeah.
But that's like, the classic scenario of a young man and like when he starts like.
Is she your first love?
No.
Okay.
I'm always, listen, the longest stretch I've ever had gone without having like a solid girlfriend is 8 months.
Let's wind it back. First love.
It's such a weird thing. Like my first girlfriend was in kindergarten and we were
pretty serious.
Well, no, but as serious as you can be in kindergarten.
Right.
Like we were infatuated with each other.
Yeah. Like,
we almost pulled some sketch shit. Like we fell asleep on the back of the bus together.
Whoa.
And the bus driver like left us at the bus depot.
Whoa. Stuff stories are made of.
Yeah. I think my first. I think it was her.
Yeah.
Because other ones were just girlfriends that like I got my heart broken when like they didn't want to be with me anymore.
For sure.
But it wasn't like I wasn't like real into them.
Right. That's an ego trip.
Right. Right. But yeah, my teacher was like, I was really like that kind of a love. Like
mm-hmm.
I just want to be around you.
Yeah. Your energy is clean.
You're like when our inner like well, not even that, it's just like there was so much love there that like you just want to be around it. It's like if you've ever been like around like a sweet older person.
Yeah, definitely.
You just want to be around them. Yeah. You could be watching Jeopardy with the sound off, and like you're just to be in the room with them is enough. Yeah, I think that was. And then like obviously when I got a little bit older into like middle school, it turned into more of like a you have a rockin' bod, Miss Kerr.
Sure.
Miss Land.
Sure, everything at that point in your
life. I pulled some like creeper shit with Miss Land.
Did you?
Not really. I just knew the apartments that she lived in were like real close to my house.
This is already creepy shit going.
Well, hold on. I would just like ride my bike around and hope that I would see her so we could talk and shit. I never thought
it's casual voyeurism.
I never thought anything was ever going to happen.
Yeah, of course not.
But I, of course, like found out what apartment she lived in.
Oh, whoops.
And I saw her in her undershnewtons.
Would you climb into a tree?
No, it was from the street level. She had the apartment.
How long did you have to wait there?
Oh, I didn't have to wait at all. It was just like one of those happenstances. Like I pulled, like I was riding my bike around. I did my old route and then. Boom, there she was.
How was it?
It was weird for me.
Was it?
It wasn't like a sexual thing. It was just like a what I'm doing is wrong.
Oh, okay.
I realized like this is wrong.
Because the gift wasn't being given to you. You were taking.
Well, and if she was to give it to me, it would creep me out to the point where like I'd be scared to go to school. I was that guy.
That sounds unhealthy.
I didn't kiss my first girl, really kiss.
Mm-hmm.
Seventh grade.
That makes sense. I mean.
I didn't. Have a sexual relationship with anyone until I was 18.
Yeah.
Just because I knew I wasn't ready for that.
Smart. It's definitely a heavy exchange of energies that you got to be careful about.
Well, it's a lot like this anger thing here, though. It's like exactly. That age, like that exactly. Sexual, like...
Right,
It has to come out somewhere.
Totally.
Like, you can't hold all that energy in. That's what I'm saying about anger. Like, if you can accept the conditions while still disagreeing with it, then anger just kind of dissipates.
Totally. And it leads me to this thing I've been asking. I don't know who brought it up. Somebody tell me, call me out on it. But like, can you trust your emotions? Are they real things? Is that weather real?
It depends on what layer of emotions we're getting at here. Because if it's just like the immediate, you know, instantaneous emotion, okay. I don't think so.
But can it be right too? Can you trust it sometimes if it's from an intuition?
I think it has to like...
Or from, a gut?
For, I can only speak for myself.
Okay.
And the only way that I really trust my emotions...
Mm-hmm.
Is if I cool out, positive or negative.
Yeah.
And I try to zoom out, like just keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger.
Okay.
Like, okay, so I'm a guy in this living room. Now I'm a guy in this neighborhood.
You're seeing the forest.
Yeah, now I'm a guy here. Now I'm a guy amongst all these other people. And then if I still feel convicted in that way, then I trust that emotion.
It's a lot of work.
It's not though, because it could happen instantaneous. It's just the trick is to like, and for me, like I what I've learned to do is like catch my physical cues from my emotions. That way I'm like, oh, okay. Like you're tightening up or you're loosening or like you're smiling and things like that. I trust the positive emotions. It's the negative ones that I'm wary of.
That's where I was going to go with that.
Negative ones, I'm like, I'm not sure about you guys.
Do you trust the positive ones? You see, you do.
I do trust the positive ones.
There's no bad positive ones? If there's as long as intention behind it is clean?
I think if the intention behind anything is clean, then it's not wrong.
Right. And
but
also
intention has to be there.
I think there are some negative emotions that you can trust. I mean, I've experienced some in my life that are definitely like, I can trust that emotion. That way I felt was negative and I can trust it.
Right. Well, and here's my thing with this. I've never second guessed a positive emotion.
Okay.
But I almost always second guess negative ones. And it's not because I'm trying to feel positive about them. It's like, I know that it's such a strong situation or that like that kind of a level of emotion carries like a pretty big momentum behind it.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to like, the best way to see things clearly is to let the mud settle. Like if you want to clear up a dirty pond, don't touch it.
Leave it alone.
Let it be. Accept it. Invite it in. Be like, all right, this is anger.
Yeah.
Okay, now, all right, anger.
Wear yourself out.
Not even that.
Yeah.
Like, all right, here you are, anger. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
I'm aware of you. I'm aware that I'm angry. And then if you just give it room, and then it's kind of like, oh, wait a second. I could think about this a little bit differently, or I could take myself out of my skull. It's very simple. The more you make life less about you, the better life gets around you.
And it's so hard.
It is.
But it's also so easy once you do it.
It is easy once you do it, but once you start feeling like an injustice or like you're getting like the raw end of the deal,
mm-hmm.
that's what you have to be careful of. I'm not saying you people don't get ripped off every day.
Of course.
And then like you're just laboring. You're laboring over like all these situations and then everything feels like it's work.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, man, I have no idea how to do what you're saying. I just think I understand the concept.
Right. And
I'm not
just,
doing
it's
it.
It's different for everybody. For me, the only way that I can actually catch myself in those moments is to just learn the physical reactions to those emotions that I have.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
I do.
And then you just have to let the brain chatter just calm down enough and let the water clear and then don't react, respond.
So I've been back on my Harry Potter kick, okay? Sorry.
No, it's fine. I like a couple of those movies.
Okay, well, I don't like the movies. It's about the books for me. Oh. Anyway, there's this thing to like whatever. I'll keep the nerdy parts out because there's a point to this.
The whole thing's nerdy, but...
Okay, sorry, whatever. So they're like, you can cast a spell to protect you from bad shit and it's the Expecto Patronum spell. Mm. Okay, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Everybody good? Okay. So I don't know what the Latin means. Somebody tell me. That'd be cool. But I could look it up.
Right.
To do it right, they have to think of their happiest memory. Like in the books, it goes in a pretty cool thing about it. It's just like you focus on the happiest memory you have. And once you find like truly the single most happy one you have, then your spells will be the most powerful that they could possibly be. You follow me?
I do.
If you think of a kind of happy memory, then it's not as powerful. Super powerful.
That's another reason why I trust the positive emotions over the negative ones is because I don't really remember the angry ones.
Okay, they don't stick around.
I just don't. I mean, I do. I remember getting mad about it, but I don't remember why I got so mad.
Sure. But
go ahead.
What I'm getting at about the Expecto Patronum thing is what is your happiest memory? What is it? If you had, can you even give me one?
Here's the thing when we do that.
Yeah.
I think you reach a certain point.
Yeah.
And that it doesn't matter what got you there. It's the same across the board. So for me to say like, this is my happiest memory.
Nice.
I immediately doubt that because I'm like, I don't know if that was my happiest memory because I felt that exact way about numerous things.
Because there are others.
Right.
Right.
And I think like when you have a happiest memory, then now you have something that you're always trying to get.
Yeah. Okay. Just throw one at me then. I agree with you. It's beautiful. Throw a powerful, happy memory at me.
My wedding. It was great.
Tell me why.
It was a small venue. Or it wasn't a small venue, but we did it in her parents' backyard, which I'm down for that. I think that's
same.
So cool.
That's the way to do it, baby.
It's just, I had one of my best friends, like we got him ordained.
Yeah.
And he like read the vows and stuff.
Which one?
My buddy Joey.
Cool.
Everything was just perfect. The weather was perfect. Weddings would do this to people anyway, but there was no negativity at all whatsoever. And I've seen it at a lot of weddings, but there was none.
Sure, that energy in the air.
Nobody was bored.
Yeah.
Nobody was like, let's hurry up and get this over with so we can go do our thing. And then the reception was tight because we walked out to a Van Halen song.
That's awesome. How was your outfit? Did you feel good about you?
I did. I felt really good about it.
Did you feel like you were you? You were at your prime, like I'm doing it?
Here's my thing with weddings. I enjoy them, but what weddings are to me is a rite of passage for a woman.
I could see that.
That's what they're for the girls.
And a relationship. So really you're just saying the feminine energy of the thing that you guys are becoming. You're one thing. It's not masculine and feminine anymore, dude. Like so many people aren't satisfied to like be Betty Crocker, you know?
Right.
And I think that's dope. And I think we're at a point in the world where it doesn't have to be like that. Like,
well, no.
Gender roles are really silly. We all have strengths and weaknesses.
No, it should just be taken on a, like, are you worthy of doing this? Then do it.
Yeah, then that's on you. Then I'll do the stuff.
It's none of my business if you can or can't do something. Unless I'm relying on you to do something.
So I don't know if weddings are all for the women. I think it's for the feminine energy of the relationship to be celebrated.
Okay, yeah. And then like my father-in-law did a cake stand. It's hilarious.
That's beautiful.
It was cool. Like it was just, and we all crashed back at my place and like, that we had kegs out in the front yard and like the cops came by and like, we're totally cool.
Of course, man.
It was just awesome. The whole thing was awesome. Right. I mean, and it wasn't because it was about me. It was just like, it was just beautiful to have that many people feel that good.
Where did you guys stay that night?
Well, he stayed at my house, and we didn't really sleep because the wedding was over, and like all the homies were like at the house. We had so much champagne,
okay,
so much beer, and we all just sat around and kept drinking.
Yeah,
and then my in-laws picked us up and took us to the airport, and we went on our honeymoon.
Where'd you guys go?
Puerto Vallarta.
Oh, sick!
At the Secrets. Yeah, it was great. But it was cool, man. I can't say my happiest, but
that's
a strong
Patronus, bro. That's a strong Patronus.
Right.
I mean, the birth of your children, is that a good one?
It was, but it's just such an intense thing. And like, I was just so bummed out that my dad couldn't be there.
Yeah.
It was beautiful, but it was also like, this is insane.
And the joy of birthing a child, you had two now, but it's spread out over a little bit of time.
I was very happy.
Right.
I would say more proud.
Right.
And then more of just like,
Were you proud of yourself?
Well, I just saw like how intense like that mother relationship is.
Yeah.
They literally grew a human being inside of them.
It's the strongest magic on earth.
It is.
I know. You create life.
Isn't that insane?
It's insane. It's our most powerful magical spell.
And then like we get annoyed when like, I don't know what to eat. I don't know what I want to eat tonight.
I know, right?
Why are you always out with your friends?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, you make humans.
Mm-hmm. You're a human maker.
I just simply give you baking soda.
Oh,
for the bread.
Yeah, right?
Cool.
Right.
There we go.
Yeah, it just needs a little bit of that active culture in there to kick.
Yeah, I think dudes definitely have it way, way easier. Just in general, because, listen, I don't know.
Grass is always greener. You're a dude.
I'm just assuming that, like, I couldn't imagine living on an emotion-based lifestyle.
Are you suggesting that women are emotional?
I would say for the most part, I think women are definitely way more emotional than men. And they think with feeling, where men are more of like an A to B linear kind of thing. I'm generalizing here.
Yeah, because I'm very emotional.
But I'm saying like traditionally, that's just kind of, I think, the difference between that.
Mm-hmm.
You are very emotional, man. And it's beautiful though, because I wish I was more emotional.
I wish you were more emotional too.
Like I don't know what it is or if I have like some kind of a block because I love things. I love them so much. Not just things, but like people and like the bigger pictures of like that.
When was the last time you cried? Here we go. Sit down, Chris. Sit on the couch. When was the last time you cried?
At the end of Moana.
Mm-hmm.
A Disney movie.
How long ago?
I don't know, probably a couple months ago. A
couple months ago.
Right. That one did it to me.
How'd it feel?
I wanted it to stop.
You wanted it to stop?
Right.
Dude, I cry all the time.
Maybe I need to do that. I need to have a good cry.
You know me, man. I'm waterworks.
You are, dude. And I'm not like jealous of it, but I'm like impressed that like you can feel comfortable enough to do that around me. Cause like most dudes aren't supposed to cry. I did cry like when my dad was going through his like cancer and stuff like that.
But. Okay. So like in any moment that you've seen me like weeping, does it make you think less of me as like...
It makes me think more of you of like, oh, this dude is really living.
Yeah, I don't give a fuck.
That you're open to like... You know how liberating that is? That you are okay with all of your emotions?
Uh-huh.
It's not like I'm not okay with crying. It's just...
Dude, the thing is there's some darkness in there too that like when you start doing it, the work is hard because I think that's what you're doing. I think you're blocking it off because you know that it's not just being able to shed a tear and be frustrated. Like you don't want to open that can of worms.
You think so? Because it's not like a conscious thing, but like I immediately like, nope, not doing this.
Dude, Rachel put on Zootopia for me like two nights ago.
Yeah.
I don't even remember what I was doing. I'm sure I was convinced I had this super important task, but I needed Zootopia in my life. Not even 10 minutes into the film and I am crying. Something about the little bunny couldn't do it and the fox was being mean. He's like telling her that she's just always going to be a little bunny.
Here's the thing. I don't care about being a man or macho or anything like that. There is just something there. And it's been that way my whole life, like for real. Well, I was a crybaby, little baby. I would just cry all the time until I was about six or seven. And then I just didn't.
After that?
I cried like with my teacher and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But like when my grandma died, like it didn't faze me until like 2 months later. And it was just like real quick.
How old were you?
12.
Okay.
And then Yeah, I mean, I've definitely cried since then, but like very, very few far between.
And you never cried over Daryl dying?
I did. I've cried several times over it, but like I had, when I heard that he died, I had like one, just kind of sat there for a minute. And then I had like one, like body's doing weird shit, like a real cry.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was over with in a matter of like 2 minutes.
And this is all one day.
Yeah, and I'm good. And then my brother came over and he was losing it. So like that one hit me.
Yeah, and just some backstory, Daryl is Chris's dad.
Yeah, he's my dad.
And Father's Day Sunday, so we were just talking about that earlier.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny, my wife asked me what I wanted for Father's Day.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't want anything, you know? She's like, well, I have to get you something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just want to go to the zoo.
Yes.
Yes. I just want to go to the zoo.
I haven't ridden a SkyTram since.
What I want is to like have see my kid have like a cool time.
That is that when you're the most present moment living?
Yeah, when I'm like,
when you're
look
not,
look at how awesome this is for her.
When you're not on your phone.
Yeah. Which is another thing. I got a problem with that.
I know you do. We all know you do.
I don't know what it is. I really don't know what it is. Here's the thing. I have so many questions about all kinds of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I have the answers right there in my hand.
Yeah.
So like if I think of something that I want to know, I just look it up. And I dive into it, but I'm not like looking it up and be like, okay. I like read into it.
I just also love your denial about it because
like a mutant.
Not 20 minutes ago, you said that we get maybe 20 Instagram or notification stuffs a day to respond to. And that you just don't have time to do that sometimes, and it's hard.
Well, it's just cutting in. It's just cutting in.
While we're setting up tonight and I come around the table to play another song, you're playing baseball on your iPhone 10.
I had answered all my questions for the day.
So it was your reward? That was your treat
to
yourself?
No, I'm literally just like, oh.
I'm just going to get a couple innings in.
I'm just like, oh, okay.
Is that how you meditate to get ready for this?
No. It's a disease I have. I don't know what it is.
And you were just crushing home runs. Like, how could it even mean anything to you? You're literally just tapping the screen and it's like, home run. And you're like, this guy's a fucking stud. His name's Chris Welker, second baseman.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's I'm going to hit another one. Crushed it.
Yeah.
It's not an easy game either. Like, it's just, I don't know. It's just like being that thing, like, I'm crushing it. But if I were to lose 3 games in a row, I would literally be gone forever.
You'd smash your phone and we'd have to get you a new one.
No, I haven't done that for quite some time.
I just think it's interesting. We all do it, man. I do it too. We all meet in our own ways.
It's just funny how like I can, you would think that you would need some kind of like big grandiose thing to get someone like me jacked, like excited. You saw it.
I did.
Taco Bell.
It was insane.
I don't know why, but it sent me into a childlike bewilderment of joy.
If you were going to give the full truth, you have to rewind to like how you want to be healthy.
I do want to be healthy.
So Chris is doing beach bod.
With my wife.
And it's cool and they're bonding. And Chris has been talking to me a lot in our day-to-day lives about how he doesn't want to eat meat anymore because he thinks that the bad spiritual vibrations of the meat bodies are negative on your meat bodies.
Can I correct that?
Yeah, go ahead.
I think that all of the hormones that go into something in a violent death stay with that. That's what I think. I think when you eating that, you're taking that on.
Oh, even you're saying you can't kill it because the thing with the body dying taints the meat?
Yep.
So like me harvesting a deer last year is the same energy there because of the
if
way.
If it was dead immediately, then no. But if it died in like a way that like it wasn't clean.
Okay, it was clean.
Or it wasn't tortured its whole life, like
no
shit. Like I'm not like being a vegan crusader, dude, because I think people need meat, but I know for me in my being that like I don't have as many of these I'm not gonna say dark, but I don't have any of these like counterproductive emotions going on.
Okay, just to talk on that point, here's a counterproductive emotion from you of talking about beach bod body fit and going vegan and going clean because your body's a temple and you got to get right.
I really feel this way, but
to coming to the drum shop with a gigantic to-go bag of Taco Bell food.
I got some for you.
You did. You got some for me. And it wasn't what I asked for.
Well, it's not my fault.
It's never your fault.
It's the taco dealer's fault.
Yeah. Okay. You know what I would have done? I would have checked the bag and I would have gone back in there and got you what you asked for.
To be honest with you, I dipped out because I was so excited.
About your food?
And I ate a taco on the way.
Well, then I know you did. I found the wrapper and I called you out.
I was going to try to hide it from you.
I know you tried to hide it from me. You left it in the bag. You never leave it.
So I got like the big boy box.
Yes.
And I had to have another taco.
Right. I know. So then you come upstairs and you're literally giddy, like Winnie's first day of whatever, going to the zoo tomorrow.
Yeah.
That's like how jacked you are.
I was so stoked.
You are so stoked. The joy of a small child.
Seriously.
But it gets better because not only do you just grab your stuff and throw the bag at me to like get your own food. Scum. Yeah. I'm doing this right now. The way that you unwrapped the burrito was like prom night, man.
It's an experience, dude.
You meant every single movement.
Oh my God, I couldn't wait. Yeah.
And the feasting that your eyes did to it.
It's beautiful.
Was turning me on. I don't know about the burrito or you, but it was like, whoa, I've never seen anybody look at anything with that much like intention to put it inside you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? No, you were not joking.
No, not at all.
You wanted to be one with that. What was it? What was it?
The $5, I don't know what you'd call it.
The power box?
$5 power boy.
Yeah. And then once you get past all of that dramatic shit and start chewing, you were making animal sounds.
I know.
And you were leaning your head back with the wrapper and the like the sauce and the thing. And you're just like, oh, literally like basking in it.
Yeah, dude. I was being warmed by the rays of the Taco Bell.
Yeah, but Beach Bod and all vegan. So we're good.
Right. But no, I was like so truly stoked in that moment. It's like drugs.
You were so happy.
Taco Bell is like drugs, dude.
You were so happy. So is that bad for you? Is that vibrationally low or is that what you need right now?
See how happy I was?
You're right. But see, for me, I can't eat. You know me. I don't do that very often.
Oh my God. For whatever reason, that Taco Bell was the essential move.
It messes me up. It tastes delicious going in. It does.
It's the healthiest fast food, by the way. Did you know that? It is.
Did you do some research?
I just told you that's all I do is research.
So that's all you're doing is research and cracking home runs.
When I'm not researching.
When you're not researching.
Right.
One foot in, one foot out.
And that's what I love about Taco Bell is like they haven't actually added any ingredients since like the 90s. And yet they're still coming out with new stuff, dude. It's innovative. It's cost effective too. Like, oh, we don't need new stuff. We'll just put this over here and then call it a crunchy melty.
You may or may not know this about me. My first job when I got my driving permit was Taco Bell.
You seem like the type of, yeah, I mean.
Oh, thanks,
I mean
dude.
That.
Thanks.
I went to Steak and Shake, dude.
Jesus, man.
No, take it for what it is.
I seem like the type of guy who'd work at a Taco Bell.
Knowing that it brings me that much joy.
Yeah.
It's a compliment. That's a compliment.
That's true. It's like a monk to you.
Yeah, like you cook the temple food?
Exactly.
You're providing sustenance for the flock?
Yeah. Fuck, man. I don't even know.
You worked at the Taco Bell, dude.
Yeah, I know. It's not healthy, dude.
It's like drugs.
I don't know. For me, it's vibrationally low. For you, it's vibrationally high. It's fine.
Isn't that funny?
On how you use it.
Oh, no, but it's vibrationally low. It's like, it is like drugs. It's like chasing a cheap high because I was so happy. And then, not the classic, like, poop problems. Not that at all. Like, I literally just felt the sodium slowing my heart down.
Yeah.
It is like drugs, dude. It's dirty. It's quick. You get high off of it.
How's the come down for you?
It's horrible.
Is it?
And there's the self-loathing period of like, oh, you did it again.
Mm-hmm.
You did it again, you son of a bitch.
Yeah. Dirty.
You rang the bell.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You dirty animal.
It's like a taboo. The Taco Bell taboo. Which, by the way, that word alone sends me down a road, dude.
Yeah.
Just say it.
Taboo. Can I use it in a sentence?
Enunciate.
Taboo.
What? Do it one more time, but like, mean it.
Taboo.
What is that? When you say that word, when I say it, taboo, what happens in your mind? What image are you getting when I say taboo?
I get like a Red Hot Chili Peppers tattoo.
That's taboo?
I don't know. That's just what pops into my brain of like, so I don't know.
Say it.
Taboo.
Here's what I'm getting.
Okay.
I'm getting a combined weight of 700 pounds of hefty Harley lovers. A couple. It's a man and woman. But there's some like Harley riding hefty people.
Okay.
And They're rolling around on the ground with fishnets on in baked beans.
What?
That's when you say taboo, I just imagine like a baked bean.
Oh, this is all in your imagination.
Yeah.
Thank God.
That's what the word taboo does to me.
I thought that maybe this place actually existed and I was like,
no,
God,
like it's the name of the club. No. And these two hefty helpers are just going to town in like a baked bean fishnet orgy.
Okay, that's taboo to you.
But I'm not talking like a can of baked beans that we can go buy.
Yeah.
I'm talking like one that they like load onto like a naval gunner ship that's going to be deployed for 8 months. That can.
Okay.
And they're just. Yeah.
It's like a 5 gallon jug.
Well, this is so taboo. Sugary beans. You know what I mean? It's a gross word to begin with, dude.
What?
Taboo. I hate that.
I don't know, man. It feels tribal.
It doesn't like, what is taboo? What is that? What does that mean? What does taboo mean? Does that mean like not cool?
Against the norm.
Is that what taboo means?
Yeah.
So if Taco Bell comes out with a new menu item that's against their normal thing, that's a taboo item?
Yes.
To me, taboo is like very naughty, gross shit.
That made me remember my Taco Bell story.
Basically sexual in nature.
It's based out on. The Taco Bell thing. One last on the Taco Bell iterations.
Okay.
So yeah, like you said, innovation. They have every ingredient you would ever need.
Yeah, right? They have 12 ingredients and they keep doing new stuff.
And I was like 15 years old and I was working there. And I told the dude, I was like, man, you got everything you need here to cook breakfast. You just got to figure out how to do eggs. Like, you guys should be open early. He was like, yeah, corporate's tested that. And that it's just not going to work.
Delicious no matter what time of day it is.
But now they have breakfast. I'm not saying that like I came up with that idea. But I knew.
It was literally the healthiest fast food.
I knew before that was the way.
That only strengthens my bond.
Do you remember your addiction to McDonald's breakfast burritos?
Yeah, that was the dark, dark age of my life. Yeah, dude. I remember like the game was to see how many you could eat on the way to work, which is the wrong time to do that.
I remember the game was before it was 24-hour breakfast, we would time getting there so that we could get them.
Yeah, right when they were hot. But here's the thing. I realized later on they make them the night before.
They don't make anything.
I remember me and you got like in a serious argument over if it was cheese sauce or melted American cheese in the little burrito.
Yeah.
And like we hated each other for that.
Yeah. Happens all the time.
He's like, a fucking idiot.
Yeah. God damn.
He worked at Taco Bell and this is that. He doesn't know this shit.
Mm-hmm.
No, they're not going to, like I said, they're not going to make another item when they could just do what they're already doing.
Man.
It is American cheese, by the way.
It's not, what did I think it was? Cheese sauce?
Like a cheese sauce. And I like tried to be like, no, that's an American. You're like, no, dude, it's totally cheese sauce.
They just use the slice from the burgers?
Yeah. Yeah, like, as you should.
But isn't that microwaved?
No, it's just American cheese, man.
How do they get it so melty?
It's microwaved.
Okay, that's what I'm asking.
Yeah.
Okay.
Go home and put like a blot of American cheese in your microwave and just microwave it. It'll do the same shit.
Yeah, but let me tell you one little secret here. That's cheese sauce, so I win.
No, it's not. It's just melted American cheese. It's not a sauce. I think to have a sauce, you have to add more ingredients
to it.
Stop it.
No, it's the state at which the material rests. And when it's melted, it's liquid. That's a sauce. That's cheese sauce.
We're both right.
Okay. It's an American cheese sauce.
I beg to differ, sir.
Why? Why can't we both be right? Why can't we both win?
I think your idea of that is taboo.
But why can't it be that it's American cheese made into a sauce?
Because there's no other ingredients. It's just a melted American cheese.
Is that a requirement?
I think you have to like put water or...
You have to add something to make a sauce.
Yeah. Name another sauce that isn't multiple ingredients. Name one.
Name one?
One sauce that is a single ingredient.
A single ingredient sauce.
I've got one.
Okay, what is it?
Mole.
Well, it's not a single ingredient.
Okay, then. I was wrong.
But are you just fucking with me?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Whatever. Okay.
I challenge thee.
Can you add water?
That's another ingredient. You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
Here we are again. Like,
sauce.
This is literally 12 years ago, and we're still...
No. What if you just like pureed a mango or a pineapple, a mango?
But then that's just a puree. It's not a sauce.
What's...
right? Otherwise, they would call it sauce.
But could I not put that mango puree into a ramekin on a dish and sell it as sauce?
No, it would be...
No, who's calling the shots? My sauce... This is clearly not a sauce, sir. Come on, can I sell it?
You could, but everyone would know you're lying.
I don't think so. I really don't think so.
They'd be like, oh, this is just blended mangoes.
Nope. I think if it was the right mango and you got it to the right consistency with like the right juice and maybe like a ninja.
I'm just going to go ahead and say that conventional wisdom and modern day science entirely is on my side.
You get it? Nice. Maybe you chill it or heat it because you didn't say anything about that. So you heat the puree.
It's still a puree. It's just a hot puree.
No, it's not, man. And then you serve it with another food item and it becomes the sauce for that item.
Is it vinegar sauce?
Yes.
Damn it. It is. I just fucked myself.
There we go. Bingo.
What is vinegar? It's just
moving on.
Yeah, I did. I screwed myself. Damn it.
Yeah.
But no one says vinegar sauce like a psychopath.
Well,
it's just like that sauce.
Chris hates the word aioli as well.
Yeah.
He hates that people put stuff in mayonnaise and then call it an aioli. And he was down at the tavern the other night and we were hanging out in the kitchen. And I literally pulled out a bowl of sriracha mixed with mayo. I was like, dude, I made you an aioli.
Yeah. And it just, you knew that like it would derail my harmony with the universe.
And
the
guess who ate the shit?
Because it's just mayonnaise. Aioli. I already like it.
It's not just mayonnaise, dude.
Is it, okay, was that aioli sauce?
It's whatever you want it to be, but it's definitely an aioli.
Okay, well, whatever, man.
And you loved it.
I did love
it. So I think you also like taboos.
Is that a taboo? Aioli.
Aioli's not taboo.
Who's making the rules here? Who gets to decide what's taboo and what's not? Because I feel like we're not understanding what that means.
Society decides. That's what a taboo is. It's not a moral thing.
God, I hate that word.
It's not a moral thing. It's not a right or wrong or a law thing. It's a what culture decides is right.
Taboo sounds like an on purpose like breed of cat.
Yeah.
Like a tabby and a...
Four taboo kittens. Call now for your good home.
Yeah, taboo kittens.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. I was thinking we should get a temple cat, man. That'd be cool.
Here's the thing.
What?
I love cats, but their waste is like,
it can be an outside temple cat.
I'm going to call it a design flaw, but I know it's not.
It's not a design flaw. It's a design.
But their shit and piss smells so much worse than any other animal that I'm aware of.
It's because it's in your house. It's not because it's just the cat.
I've just had bad run-ins with cats.
If you pissed and shit in a box in your house, it would stink too, man.
Right.
That's
why it's fucking gross.
Right. No, it's gross. I agree. I hate litter
boxes. I like those guys that train their cats to shit on the toilet, though. That's pretty cool.
It's cool, but it's weird.
That's a boss move, dude.
It is pretty boss. You work
for me.
Here's the
thing. If I open the door and a cat was taking a shit, like, oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry, dude. Same.
Yeah.
Same.
Right?
Yeah. And right? It just looks at you like, meh.
Right.
Yeah, like smoking a cigarette, reading the newspaper. He's taking a shit. Yeah.
No, he just. Hung over and he has his hand on his head and he's like, God, I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah. And you're like, sorry, Whiskers.
I shouldn't have done that last night, dude.
Yeah. He's right.
Yeah.
And then he's going to be, he'll just be like, oh, I'll be out here, man. I got brunch ready for you. Totally.
Jesus Christ. I think this thing has gone far enough off the rails.
You think so?
No, it's good. Yeah. I literally expired everything that I couldn't dream of talking about, unless you have something else.
No, man. Just don't be afraid to love. That's all.
Is that your overarching?
I don't think we really got there, but that's how I was feeling tonight. It's just like not being scared to do it. And that it don't just mean like love in your partner relationships, but just being scared to be doing your shit because you might not work out. I don't know.
I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, that's where I've been at.
Yeah. So if you don't take a chance, you're going to lose.
Yeah, just do you, man.
Right.
Right.
Do you, man. Let's give some shout outs. Thank you. At Liquid Light Lab. They do all those cool, like, trippy, psychedelic liquid light show things.
Yeah.
And he's going to let us use some of his footage for our little clips on the gram, which is super sweet of him.
Nice.
I'd also like to shout out at Jefferson KC. Jeff, we love you more than you know. And we think you're rad. I'd also like to shout out my boy, Kyle Krause, at Kid Krause.
Nice.
Congrats on your St. Louis Blues finally winning the cup, dude. Because if anyone was ever a delusional hockey fan, you were one and you've earned this one, bud. So good for you. Good on you.
Yeah.
Now that you've gotten that, let's work on getting you some sleeves. Because you primarily only wear sleeveless shirts and it's off-putting because you're funny looking. I love you so much,
Kyle. Do you talk about me as much for wearing sleeves on tank tops?
Don't you remember the other day when I was like, Jared, has anyone ever told you you have nice skin?
Yeah, were you being a smartass?
No. And you're like, no, I'm like, you have nice skin. You can rock the tank top. You don't have a whole lot of like upper arm hair.
I'm allowed to do that? Okay.
It's not as off-putting as like when someone like my buddy Kyle, I'm like, that.
So you're, like, hang on. You are the decider of who wears the tanks.
I'm judgmental about Kyle's lack of sleeves, yes.
Okay. I'm going to shout out.
That's wrong of me because I can't wear sleeveless stuff.
Okay. I'm going to shout out my boy Loogie.
Sorry.
Vibe God.
A guy named Loogie?
Yeah, Loogie. You know Loogie from the bar.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Shouting him out. He's my dude. Vibe God.
Is Vibe God's his handle?
No, it's just, I think. Loogie, I think.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. He's on there. Gonna be sending us some tracks.
Nice.
So thanks, brother. And then the one and only, Jay Norcross.
Oh, hey, man. How's it going?
Dude. Good.
Yeah?
Yeah, just congratulations to my boy, man. Moving on up in the world.
Yeah.
Doing shit.
We love you, man.
We do. We love you.
We love you so much.
My brother.
To all you Padres out there, I hope you had a good, happy Father's Day. We're recording this on Friday, and you won't hear it until Wednesday.
Yeah.
But I hope you had a good one, man. And if you didn't, figure out why.
Let us know.
Yeah, let us know, man.
We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah. On that note, we love you.
We love you.
Goodbye.